The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yes, it is. It is the early line right here on Sports Grid on a Friday morning. Kevin Walsh joined by Donnie Wrightside. I know we say it. It's a loaded 2 hours, but we're telling the truth, people. It is a jam-packed 2 hours coming up here on Sports Grid. Donnie, how you feeling?
Feeling good. Final week of preseason football on deck right now. And also tomorrow morning, live college football from Dublin. Doesn't get any better than this. Settle down, people out there. As K-Dub said, we got 2 hours to get through it all.
No doubt about it. There was preseason games last night. We'll get there in a minute. But the lead story is actually a preseason game that's still to be played because it is going to feature Tom Brady. Brady going to play in Indianapolis this weekend against the Colts here. Maybe as much as the entire first half. Surprising, Donnie, to see his involvement in a preseason game.
Yeah, yesterday I agreed with Kevin on Moneyline where he thought this would be punishment for Tom Brady to play in this game. Come on, we're on the same page here on a Friday morning. Tom Brady playing in game three of the preseason when it's the final one. Come on now, K-Dub. I mean, you hit it right now in the head.
I'm going to do the 7-7 by myself if you keep it up, man. I'm telling you that right now. You're going to get phased out before you know it. It's an interesting spot. The lines have been on the move. All in all, we'll break that game down along with all the preseason action that is to come, which will also feature a game between the Bengals and the Rams, though this very well could turn into a stadium stampede at any moment. How about a practice brawl yesterday where Aaron Donald told Myles Garrett, hold my beer, not one helmet, but double fisting helmets yesterday at the practice, trying to smash Cincinnati players over the head.
Yeah, talking about setting the tone there for the 2022 season. But here's my favorite part about it. The camera angle comes out and shows clearly that Aaron Donald is swinging a helmet. And what does the NFL say? It's practice, man. We can't go over that. We have no jurisdiction. Meanwhile, if he did it in a game, he's facing 3 years at, like, Rikers Island at this point. Get it together, NFL. Is it okay to swing a helmet at somebody, or is it not?
Practice has nothing to do with the league is what we have found out. Many people are like, hey, like, do you get on the Bills right now? Like, is Donald going to be suspended? Like, the Rams decide if he is suspended. What do you think?
Good luck.
He'll be out there, Donnie, and he'll be ready to go. Yeah. But we'll talk about that game and whether or not we think that's right, though, that there will not be an Aaron Donald suspension, comparing it to the Myles Garrett situation. As we mentioned, two games from last night, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Green Bay Packers, a 17-10 final score, KC's direction. And then how about a shutout, Donnie, from the Houston Texans over the San Francisco 49ers, which if you want to go panic alarms, the Niners did play some starters there and were not able to muster up any points.
I'm telling you right now, me and K-Dub got some eyes focused on that AFC South. Instead of looking at the top end of that conference, or excuse me, division with the Titans and the Colts, K-Dub, maybe the bottom end gives you a little bit more edge there between the Houston Texans and the Jaguars in 2022.
I mean, listen, Davis Mills might just be a baller. Listen, he was horrific to start. Everybody who's being honest knows it, but I've since said hand up. He's actually kind of better than we had anticipated. Tons of preseason action, tons of football coming your way, including college football week zero. So that is all coming up here. But also, Major League Baseball continuing to deliver major headlines on a regular basis. Our radio audience is here, though, on this Friday morning. You're listening to the Early Line on SiriusXM Channel 159. And the Baltimore Orioles, again, in the win column, a homer in the bottom of the ninth inning ties this game up at 3-3 against the Chicago White Sox. And in the bottom of the 11th, they win this thing 4-3. The Orioles continue their hunt for an AL wildcard spot.
Yeah, we'll see if they get in. But the big story for me is I lost money on this game. Why? Because you put a guy on second base with no outs in both the 10th and the 11th inning, and the White Sox could not score a single run. Come on now, White Sox. You get that miracle in the bottom of the ninth inning. You figure you're bailed out and still doesn't happen. Good for the Orioles. They are fighting for that spot. And sometimes it's nice to cheer against the White Sox because they won't put it together, Kevin. They won't put it together for the rest of this campaign.
What's nice to see you there, because I thought you were about to do, like, I can't believe we have a ghost runner thing. But in that spot, at least, Donnie, a man of integrity. He knows the ghost runner is good, and he just thinks the White Sox are a bunch of jabrons for not being able to cash in. And he's right on that, by the way. That team is one game over 500. We are 125 games into their year. I'll tell you what, man. Jacob deGrom, he was back at it again yesterday. I mean, if you score on this guy, it just does feel like celebrations. He was perfect through four innings because, of course, he was. Struck out nine in a six innings of work against the Colorado Rockies. A 3-1 final score as the biggest favorite of this baseball season at minus 450 comes in pretty much sweat-free.
Yeah, it really was sweat-free there. And I guess Jacob deGrom, he can't pitch, Kevin, against the elite talent in Major League Baseball. All he does is beat up on these bad baseball teams. Obviously, that's not the case here. But it's good to see deGrom with a strong outing if you're a Mets backer. That's pretty good.
I do think that take that you just jokingly said is out there, despite the fact that like he shut down the Atlanta Braves in Atlanta. But that's, again, it's fine. It is what it is. DeGrom, again, just looks fantastic. Lastly, Chet Holmgren, we're waiting for the update. Yesterday, Wright moves back to 7-1. Hey, do you take a chance? Hope you didn't. Out for the season, Donnie. He's not even going to be. In fact, you might get refunded, though, then again, on the Chet Holmgren bets.
Yes, absolutely. You would have to. That would be criminal if they kept your money, if Chet Holmgren doesn't even make it to the starting gate here.
Yeah, so Chet Holmgren, he will be live, though, for next year's Rookie of the Year race. He can have been sitting for tips. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on SportsGrid on this Friday morning. We'll get to any takeaways from last night's preseason action, but really I play against the Indianapolis Colts in the final preseason game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This, to me, was very surprising. I'm wondering if the way everyone is going to treat preseason, or at least the majority of the league, is different now, where week three is valued, that big gap that'll exist from now until the next time we see these guys, which is week one of the NFL season, makes teams a little more willing to put their guys out there. But honestly, Donnie, I don't know if there's any scenario where you would have been able to convince me that Tom Brady at 45 is going to play preseason football. And definitely not when he was gone a week ago. It doesn't seem like a guy that's valuing these reps all in all, to be honest with you. Pretty surprised here that Brady is going to play against the Colts this weekend.
Yeah, week three in the NFL here for the preseason, we thought it would be treated like week four of the NFL preseason in the past, and it's certainly not. Yeah. A lot of these teams taking advantage of that extra week in between to get that work in just to stay fresh. And also, we haven't seen a quarterback take a vacation for approximately 2 weeks in the middle of a preseason camp as well. So Tom Brady coming back under center, he wants to make sure he stays sharp, play some of those starters against the Colts. It does make some sense where before you'd say to yourself, are they crazy? Why would you play anybody in the final preseason game? Keep in mind, you have that extra week because we used to have a fourth preseason game, which we don't anymore. So it does make some sense here. Keep these guys sharp. As I like to say, they're football players. They need to play football. They can't just sit around for 3 weeks and then tee it up on week one.
Here's the thing, right? You and I are kind of at a crossroads with this whole absence of Toms. Now, I've never tried to tell you that I want my franchise quarterback gone out of the building for a week. However, I am a man of integrity and logic. And here's what Todd Bowles had to say about Tom Brady going out there and playing in this preseason game. Quote, "It's important for game continuity. We have some new guys on the O-line. We have some new guys at receiver. So other than having practice together, we need to see him in a game with certain situations and just the flow of it. No matter how long it is, we just need to see it." Now, that is an interesting, you know, kind of quote there and notion compared to how everybody treats the preseason. But if those reps are valuable, then it is very believable that in the room in Tampa Bay, there is legitimate frustration that Tom was not there in the building for a full week. That it is surprising to me, because I can easily be sold on the idea that if he never left, they wouldn't have him out there for the preseason. So I wonder if his absence led to him being active in this upcoming game.
It has to lead to it there, because you did read correctly between the lines. We're trying to get ready. We're in installation processes for the season, and my quarterback is gone, not for a day or two as an excused absence, but for almost 2 weeks. And he comes back into the building, and you read right into that. I'm saying, like, hey, man, got some younger wide receivers that really need this time in. Hey, let's put these calls together. Let me call some plays into your helmet so you get the feel of an NFL game this year and we can get started, because it is a little bit different of a coaching staff this year, and we'd like to have a true dress rehearsal before the games get underway and you go to Dallas and take on the Dallas Cowboys. But also, There's two different ways this could have worked out here, because he comes back and now he's going to be playing in week three. It would have been very easy for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to cover Kevin once he got back to camp. Ooh, Tom Brady looks sharp as he can on this Tuesday. Tom Brady playing this, he's not playing this weekend. He would never play this weekend. He's sharp as it can be. He wouldn't be playing in week three of the preseason if he was there the last 10 days. Probably would have got some reps in game two. Okay, I'm cool. I'm shutting it down. Now also, I agree that Tom Brady should play. Even if Tom Brady wasn't Tom Brady and took 10 days off, wouldn't have any issues with teams playing their starters in week three of the preseason with the extra week off. But what happens, let's just say Tom Brady comes back, which means Tom Brady's playing. Your starting offensive line is playing. Your starting wide receivers and running backs are playing. What happens if they get an injury this week with maybe another guy on the offensive line, which they can't handle at this point right now, moving through offensive line? You sort of look back and the GM is like, come on, Tom. We played this game because you needed the reps and another guy got hurt, which you wouldn't have been in that game if you were in training camp. It could get interesting.
The interesting thing, though, is while I give you a little, I also take some back. Last year in the preseason, Tom played a drive in week one, nothing in week two, and then went out there for three drives in week three against the Texans. And by the way, here's how those three drives went. Three and out, 91-yard touchdown drive, 93-yard touchdown drive. Let Tom Brady go out there, lead two 90-yard touchdown drives, and I bet his MVP odds are going to get on the move. And it's going to be the top story, kind of what comes out of it. The interesting part of this, Donnie, and this is why maybe Tom was willing to leave, because maybe this is not only going to be the setup for the Tampa Bay Bucs, but the rest of the league, is that now week two of the preseason is a bye week for starters, and week three, these teams are going to tie it on. Because yesterday we saw for the San Francisco 49ers, a team certainly with postseason aspirations and all of that, throw Trey Lance out there for a little bit, which was surprising because Trey Lance did not play at all in the second week of the preseason. It does look like teams now maybe have settled in to their preseason routines under a three-game setup, and it looks like week two is irrelevant, but week three might matter some.
Yeah, and we'll see if that changes in the future, because let's keep in mind, this is the first time we're going to see three preseason games, so maybe some of these coaching staffs are going through saying, here's how I think it would work best, and maybe next year tweaking it a little bit to say, all right, we played last year games 1-3, let's go 1-2 this year, take off three to see if we get started, because, you know, coaches are creatures of habit. Let's just say the way we'll use the 49ers in instance, the way they handled it here. Let's just say they open up, Kevin, 0-2 on the season, or 1-1, or whatever. It'd be sluggish. Boy, we got to change this up. We can't be doing this the same way. Let's play all three preseason games, or let's change something up. So we'll see next year if it makes some sense. But reading between the lines, I like what they're doing here, because it used to be, again, as a fan and a longtime season ticket holder, you used to look at the schedule coming out in the preseason, Kevin. Forget about gambling itself. Hey, the Eagles are at home for which games here? Yeah. Ooh, games 1-4. Well, burn those tickets. You're not going to see a single starter probably in either one of those games. And if you do, you'll be lucky to catch them for 30 seconds out here. But if you saw, hey, look at that, game 3 is at home, Eagles and the Jets, I'm going to get to see 3 quarters, maybe 2 quarters of Donovan McNabb in a game. I'll go down and check it out. So also even with the viewing experience of the fans, and also certainly the gambling knowledge, and then throw in with how these football teams like to operate, and do they think it works now heading into week 1 of the regular season?
It's interesting stuff to follow. From the 2 games yesterday, if you ask me for my biggest takeaway, it's something that has been consistent. It's not new news, but I have to reiterate it because it'll never not be baffling. Perhaps the, I don't want to use a harsh word, but I'll just say one of the worst picks in NFL history is Jordan Love. And it has nothing to do whether or not you think Jordan Love is good. By the way, he's not. How this team went out there, drafted this kid in the first round, and Aaron Rodgers has gone MVP, MVP, contract extension, is just so unbelievably bad. It is so fireable. And instead, they have extended the people up top there in Green Bay. Like, Jordan Love is the reason that we have spent months in back-to-back off seasons wondering whether this guy and Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay. Donnie, he's out there in the preseason and he does nothing. There's no excitement. There's no buzz. There's no juice ever. Nobody ever says, hey, man, do you think that this team might call and see if they can grab Jordan Love at a Green Bay to come be their guy? Nothing of the sort on Jordan Love.
It's a great point you bring up, too, because if Jordan Love was flashing, they would be kicking down the doors and you would get the daily Green Bay. I'm not answering the phone on Jordan Love, so stop calling us. First round, second round, third round, 2 first-rounders, stop calling us. We're keeping him for the future. You don't hear any of that.
None. You hear absolutely none of it. He is as important as Danny Etling to this team. More NFL news.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid, taking a look at some of the additional NFL headlines as they relate to the preseason. And the Bengals and the Rams are going to get after it in preseason action. It's kind of interesting, to be honest with you. I feel like maybe the NFL really doesn't need to worry where preseason is or practice is just practice, because when you see the Aaron Donald and brawl footage, you'd probably think we need to cancel this game because there's no way this doesn't carry over. But apparently the notion is they're going to let bygones be bygones. If you missed the clip, we're going to run it for you in a minute here, but here's the scenario. Aaron Donald is kind of the lead suspect. There's a brawl. Practice brawls happen all the time, right, Donnie? How many have we made sure to play videos of, though? In the history of this show, this might be the only one. And it's because Aaron Donald is out there. I don't mean to laugh, but it's so crazy, right? I mean, he is double-fisting Cincinnati Bengal helmets, and he's flying them around in a pile of people. Really, at any moment, could hit a Cincinnati player or one of his own teammates. And part of the reason I think this is such a big conversation is everybody remembers the Myles Garrett play, where there were some people whose genuine take was put Myles Garrett in prison. We do not need to rehash that, but Myles Garrett did serve a suspension. Aaron Donald here, since it was a practice and not a game, Donnie, is essentially just going to get some social media backlash, and that will be the extent of it. What do you think about this entire situation?
I think Aaron Donald is partially insane, and some of the greatest players in any sport do have a little bit of crazy in them. But what I take away out of this video, there's two things. The first thing that comes up right away, a helmet-swinging incident. Oh, my goodness, Myles Garrett basically got banned from the NFL. Aaron Donald doing this, the NFL is going to have to step in here and, I don't know, give him 5 or 6 games. The NFL was very quick with the response. These are practices. We don't do anything with these practices. We don't sanction these practices. We're not going to go in there and say there's going to be violations from practices. That's up to the team itself. Sean McVay, we suspend Aaron Donald. Hey, look, man, we talked to Aaron Donald, told him to calm down, and that's about it. So that's all that's going to happen. But secondarily, you take a look at Aaron Donald here. He has a helmet in his hand. He's swinging it. There is audio. He connects perfectly on the dome of somebody else's helmet. Then Aaron Donald gets swung to the ground and gets back up. And looks like one coach gets in his way. Here's what you have to know about this as well. The Cincinnati Bengals know the guy that's really angry on the field with the helmet is Aaron Donald. If this was a backup safety, there would have been 16 Cincinnati Bengal players taking their helmets off and pounding this guy into submission. But the fact that, oh, fight, who is Aaron Donald? Yeah, hey. Somebody go there and calm him down. Not let's go calm him down ourselves. So let's be serious of how crazy and good Aaron Donald is. But just seeing as I actually like the fact here, because if anybody's ever played sports, right, particularly football, you can go back to middle school football, high school football, college. You always get those scrimmages in where you're just itching to tackle somebody else, hit another player than you see in camp for 14 straight days, the same running back running the sweep at you that you hit. It's nice to see, and they do get feisty, and there are scrums. I just think maybe the NFL, because I saw it also on social media, and they do have a point to this. I love anarchy. It's fun to see these two teams getting after it or whatever is going on in these joint practices. But I think the NFL, once this is done, saying, look, we know the wave of the future is more of these practices are going to happen. This can't be what is going to take place where, you know, as a player, Kevin, the NFL doesn't control this. My head coach controls this. I'm going to just throw blow after blow out here and just have my coach go, let the fire, son, just keep it down. Where if that's a regular season game, your coach is screaming at you, you get a FedEx envelope for a $500,000 fine, and you don't play for 3 weeks.
So that is the thing. Now, what Aaron Donald did is elevation, right? That is not the normal NFL joint practice brawl. But on average, Donnie, what do you think we have? 5 brawls each and every offseason between two teams? Maybe more? If that were to happen during week 1 of the regular season, every player that was brawling is getting kicked out of the game, suspended, and fined, as you're saying. So the notion that practice is different than the game is just a fact. That's not an opinion. That's not covering for Aaron Donald. These things are approached very, very differently. Now, if the Rams didn't treat preseason like it didn't matter, the easy move for Sean McVay would be, I'm going to bench Aaron Donald for tonight's preseason game, and that's going to be how we punish him. The thing is Aaron Donald is already benched for the game because Aaron Donald hasn't played preseason since Sean McVay got into the building. Maybe say he's not allowed at the game. Put him up in a suite. Again, it's not really punishment, but whatever. If you want to do something in that way, I do think, again, what Aaron Donald did was massively over the line relative to the scrummages that happen, and it doesn't even look like anybody's punches connected. But to say, oh, the NFL has to come in and go for a 6-game suspension, it is an out-of-left-field kind of thing. Look, these guys are in action here as well versus one another in this final week of preseason action. It's a 2.5-point line in Cincinnati. It's a Saturday game. Look, it's week 3 of the preseason. Normally, I would, you know, you wouldn't talk about this mattering to a handicap, but does this matter at all? If somebody's looking to bet this football game, is somebody betting Cincinnati because they're a little bit more pissed off going into a preseason game?
Yeah, I don't think they actually care about it either side here, because you're right. The Rams are notorious for not playing anybody anyway. Get your work in practice, sit it out, and then we'll see if we can do some damage in the regular season. Worked out pretty well for Sean McVay last year as they won a Super Bowl. And also, let's remember, this is a Super Bowl rematch, so I don't know if the NFL is pimping this one out, going, hey, you definitely want to tune in here, because these two teams just met last February and it was a close game. It's decided, obviously, neither one of these teams probably going to pay very many starters. I don't think Joe, been trying to find, sniff around for Joe Burrow. I don't think he makes an appearance in this game either. They're probably just going to take that. We get that working in practice. We don't want him to take any random shots here. Even if it's 2 weeks away, we'll take these extra 2 weeks to protect Joe Burrow, and we'll see him week one.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's based on the teams, it looks high level. Based on who will be out there, it's a low-level preseason type of game. So all in all, 2.5, sure, right? You understand why Cincinnati's at home.
Yeah.
There's another preseason game I want to bring up. And we have more preseason breakdown coming in hour number two. But in terms of storylines that we are watching, Ravens-Commanders matters a little bit, right? The streak, Donnie, the chance to basically finish out another unbeaten preseason, cover another number here. We are at 6.5 in Baltimore. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but is the number light? Is the number a little light here on the Ravens? I thought it would maybe be a touchdown, all things considered.
Yeah, and also you would figure it'd be most, hey, Lamar Jackson's going to play. Well, Lamar Jackson's not going to play in this game. He certainly wasn't going to play probably anyway, but at the same time, when you have a negotiation that's dealing with hundreds of millions of guaranteed dollars, he's not going to run himself out there in a preseason game and take a shot he doesn't need to. But having said that, their quarterback room, as I said multiple times, it's perfect for the preseason. Guys that have the ability to throw and run at the same time, seems like it works your favor. So you see this line here at -6.5. Here's the interesting part, because we always talk, Kevin, so much about the Ravens and how all they do is cover, and rightfully so. They take pride in that for the Baltimore Ravens. Mm-hmm. This isn't like, oh, I didn't know that. You know, so the teams play dumb. Hey, you just set the all-time rushing record in the game by 1 yard. Oh, we didn't? Well, yeah, your coach put you back in for one more carry to get it. Oh, I wasn't even paying attention to that. No, the Ravens know that they have this streak on the line and are certainly taking this seriously. But also, the opposite sideline. The reason I bring this up, because most teams in the preseason don't really care what the other team is doing. Let's work on our scheme. Let's see who wants to tackle. Let's see who's going to make that bottom half of the roster, the 48th through 53rd guy. But is there come a point now on the teams like the Commanders that are going to play the Ravens where you're sitting there before the game, and again, you're not giving them a fire and brimstone speech like we got to win this game. Hey, guys, wouldn't it be cool to end that streak here? And also, local team, there is still a little bit of a rivalry, even though they're in separate conferences, between the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington Commanders. They're so close together. And to say, hey, man, we finally put this streak to bed. Hey, you remember that long streak by the Baltimore Ravens? Who beat them? That's right, the Commanders beat them and ended that streak. There's got to be a little bit of pride that enters on the other side. Now, having said that, I'm not betting on that pride. It's the Ravens or nobody for me. You know?
That's a pretty good setup there by you, right? I think it's inappropriate. The Commanders should care, but I don't care whether they do or not. Like, the Ravens are going to win this game by 14. If the Ravens, Donnie, were going to have a little more incentive related to the streak, it'd be the last game, right? Where they're aware, hey, we just got to win this and it's another year. Like, we don't want to be the group that messes up the preseason thing, right? Like, so I genuinely, like, it sounds crazy, but like, yeah, lay the 6.5. But as we've said, I believe it's 22 wins in a row with 19 covers. So very rarely would a game like this finish with the Ravens by 3? So you just kind of trust it moving forward. I'll make this last point here. We're going to get to some Major League Baseball on the other side. When this game finishes, the next news out of Baltimore, Donnie, is supposed to be and will likely be Lamar Jackson contract related. As we sit here on this Friday, August 26th, do you think we get a Lamar contract extension announcement before the Ravens play the New York Jets week one?
1,000%. We've been trying to take the temperature of many people and what they thought about this and what's going to happen. There's no way Lamar Jackson goes into this season without a brand new contract. It's not going to happen. Oh, Kyler Murray's never going to get that deal. They don't even like that quarterback. Boom. Record deal comes down the pike. It's going to happen, and it's probably going to happen this week.
I do think the people who were saying that about Kyler were at least half right. I do not think they like Kyler Murray, which is interesting. But I do agree. I think Lamar gets there because the floor now is more money than Kyler Murray. It's a massive, massive contract. I think now he tries to push the envelope on guarantees, and eventually those two sides settle up. We're going to the Diamond next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball continuing to deliver. Man, oh man. How about Paul Goldschmidt? I don't want to say that this show slandered Paul Goldschmidt. We just wondered, hey, I'm trying to be nice to you, and you're gonna make me turn this around, so just settle in, all right? Wondered, hey, could anybody come out here and catch Paul Goldschmidt? Donnie, Aaron Judge minus 850 to win AL MVP. Paul Goldschmidt is minus 1450 to win the NL MVP award. The question is not whether this guy is going to win the NL MVP. It's can he get the NL Triple Crown? Baseball's lead in batting average at 339, the NL lead in RBIs at 105, and two homers behind Kyle Schwarber for the most homers in the National League, Paul Goldschmidt, with a phenomenal year for the St. Louis Cardinals. Two home runs yesterday.
Yes, and he is now, at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a minus 1450 favorite to win it. And quite frankly, that probably means he's wrapping that up at this point. Because what did he go up, $8 last night? Oh, it's pretty crazy what that will do. But also, the extra credit, Kevin, which I continue to talk about, the Cardinals are on a run, and they are putting the Brewers in their rearview mirror. And the reason for that are guys like Paul Goldschmidt going out and dominating this year. Now, it used to be like the Triple Crown was a massive deal. When Miguel Cabrera did that and won the MVP in the AL for the Detroit Tigers, it was almost like every single day, like the updates, ooh, can he do this? And it's kind of interesting that you brought up that Triple Crown, because us baseball guys know that he's having a great season, but we don't have that sort of leading ESPN with something that's not done very often, a Triple Crown for a Major League Baseball player. So it's nice to see he's finally getting those accolades now on a very good baseball team. But I would say, look, I'll be honest. Throughout the middle parts of that summer when he was sitting there, Kevin, at that minus 140 price, I said he's just a placeholder. Somebody come track him down and surpass him. That's not going to happen at this point, because even when you look at it, Kevin, he's a minus 450. You know who's number two? Nolan Arenado on the same team, 25-1. Arenado's not jumping him at this point. So Paul Goldschmidt, for all intents and purposes, looks like he locked this thing up.
100%. And that's what's very interesting. Is we talk about wins above replacement, because whether you out there watching and listening like it, we know the voters like it. And Goldschmidt, Sandy Alcantara had the lead, but everybody didn't want to entertain him. From terms of position players in the National League, it was Goldschmidt and it was Arenado. That was the 1-2 punch. There was actually times where Arenado, because of what he does defensively, was a little bit above Goldschmidt. But it felt as if the seven Los Angeles Dodgers would potentially get in the mix, a Manny Machado. And in an interesting way, as the Cardinals have heated up, it's had a lot to do, of course, with Goldschmidt. And now it's almost as if everybody said, oh, yeah, we can now acknowledge that Arenado's the second option as well, because the Cardinals, with this run that they're on, are just garnering a lot more respect, as you mentioned. A six-game lead now over the Milwaukee Brewers. This team's minus 750 to win the NL Central. And that does not mean that this is done and dusted. It right doesn't close the door here. St. Louis has ended this race. But the odds are they're way stronger than Milwaukee was ever able to get to.
Yeah, and it seems like the MVP of this, Central race here in the NL is actually the Cardinals front office as opposed to the Brewers front office. We even talked about once the Cardinals took a two-game lead here. It just felt like it was over, because the simple fact is you didn't get any help from the Brewers. The Brewers are always that team coming into the season where you just said to yourself, it looks like the Cardinals are okay, but we trust the frontline pitching of the Brewers and that back end of the bullpen. We don't even care who's in the lineup for the Brewers. They'll just have enough talent to outpitch anybody in that division. Hasn't been the case here. And when you undercut the strength of that baseball team, the back end of the bullpen, and you don't add any bats to a team that's really lacking bats, this is what you get. So now you see that six-game lead, which certainly seems to me insurmountable at that time. But even if we're looking at overall, where do the Brewers go in the future? Fan base, right? We're a smaller market team. We were in it to win it, I thought. And you blatantly told us at the trade deadline that this is a great move for now and the future, when nobody agreed with that. There's not a single person that said, you know what? The Brewers are being real smart with this team. They got enough horses already to win it this year. Don't have to pay Hader in the future and maybe look on. And it's just been an abject disaster all across the board for the Brew Crew.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We'll continue to follow that race. We're also going to follow this NL East race. But before we get to DeGrom and where those odds are, the Philadelphia Phillies are 15 games over 500. Aaron Nola with 9 innings of work. That's right, a complete game shutout. 11 strikeouts, not a single walk. Aaron Nola is going to finish on the Cy Young ballot inside that top three. Last year, Zach Wheeler was on the Cy Young ballot in terms of that top three with Burns and Max Scherzer. The lineup is performing, and Bryce Harper is going to come back. This Philadelphia Phillies team, man, they have some juice. I don't care if it's the Cincinnati Reds. They're handling their business, man.
They certainly are, and that's always the key moniker that we like to use. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Your better your star pitcher, I should say, Aaron Nola, at least your number one, is on the mound. You're supposed to beat the Reds, and they did that 4-0. Now, also, the same thing that you worry about, the Phillies are going good now because when you take a look at, 2 months ago, we could say that Harper got hit with that pitch from Blake Snell. I know my media thoughts were, this season's done now. I mean, this is a guy, the MVP of your franchise, the heart and soul. He's going to be out. They can't absolutely hang around here and wait 2 months for him to get back. Nice season. Try again next year. Get some elbow surgery and fix it. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that Kyle Schwarber stepped up to the plate. JT Realmuto wasn't having a great season, really stepped up. Nick Castellanos finally starting to turn into the player that the Phillies thought they got in free agency. Now you're getting Harper back, but at the same time, Nola dominates last night. Oh, it's really nice to have. Do you remember me talking just a few short weeks ago? They pick up a guy like Noah Syndergaard, and you say to yourself, that's a good move here. Is he a dominant pitcher? No, but he gives you an honest effort every time he's out there where no matter who you're matched up against, you think you can win with Syndergaard on the mound. Yesterday, we see 15-day IL Zach Wheeler having a little bit of tendonitis in his forearm, which means I saw we got the Bailey Falter call again. I'm not saying the Phillies are guaranteed to make the playoffs because I believe their playoff percentages here are close to 80% now, including the wild card, which is great. They have a couple games lead. They're getting Harper back. The schedule is easy. You should get in. But the only thing that can hold them back is if you get injuries in the bullpen like you did with Cianthri Dominguez. And also, now that you see Zach Wheeler, hopefully it's precautionary. Let's take our time. We should get to the playoffs, and we need Zach Wheeler. If it's anything devastating, that's really going to hurt the Phillies.
4-game lead right now from where the Phils are to the Brewers, who are that team on the outside looking into the NL wildcard race, which when you consider how the odds are for these divisions, that feels big time, right? Because you've got, again, so St. Louis has a 6-game lead. They're -750 over Milwaukee. The Mets have a 2-game lead with their win for Jacob DeGrom last night over the Atlanta Braves. They're a -410. It is not unreasonable. We don't have make-miss playoff odds to suggest that the Phillies right now, odds to make the playoffs, would land in between -410 and -750, right? Roughly about a -550 favorite to make the postseason all in all right now, which is exciting stuff for the Philadelphia Phillies. Speaking of that Mets lead, it is a little odd to me that we went from -280 to -410 because the Mets beat the Rockies as a -450 favorite. I don't understand. Like, would the Braves have been favored to win the division if the Rockies beat DeGrom yesterday? I don't know. Who cares? They were never beating DeGrom. Again, Donnie, like, it was, to me, it felt more likely DeGrom went out there and struck out 27 batters than the Rockies won this baseball game. It was 3-1. Like, oh, that's close. No, it was the game never felt tense at all. It just felt like you were enjoying DeGrom. The Mets were going to cruise. It's exactly what happened.
It was exactly what happened. And maybe also like a foretelling tale where you say, well, Jacob DeGrom gets pushed back 2 days from that Yankees start. And me, I like to dig in and be like, hey, what's the reason for that? Was it we're just trying to be cautious and give an extra couple of days? He doesn't need to pitch in the pressure cooker Subway Series. We give him an easy layup against the Rockies. Or is there something more to it here where it's, well, hey, coach, came in, slept on my shoulder, I think a little bit wrong. It stiffened up here. All right, look, we're going to pull you down. We'll start, a couple days later, see if it comes back. And it did. And also, if you are a betting, prospectus and saying to yourself, I want to take the Mets, but if Jacob DeGrom goes out and throws one inning and his fastball tops out at 89 and we got issues, I'm not going to take him. So that's where that line was. He goes last night and absolutely dominates. Forget about the Rockies. He looked great and dominating. There's no surprise that that number jumped up because that sigh of relief. Whew, all right. DeGrom and Scherzer looks like they're going to be fine down the back end. And also, if you're taking a look at the future, who do the Mets play today? But also, who do the Braves play today? A tough series with a red-hot St. Louis Cardinals team. Mm. So if you're figuring that that's two and that might expand to four by the weekend, well, there you got it.
So let me just say this on DeGrom quickly. The next time he is supposed to take the mound, Donnie, against the Los Angeles Dodgers at Citi Field.
Uh-oh.
It's supposed to be Tyler Anderson, that 13-2 record, top 15 ERA in baseball. That is the most excited I have been to see a line all season long. I don't think you can do minus 200 against the Dodgers. I think Tyler Anderson has been solid. But similarly, yeah, there is no way DeGrom is under minus 140 in a home start. I cannot wait to see. Although I'll tell you this, I will start to complain if we get to Buck Showalter, push it back, and let him pitch against the Nationals in the next series. I'm going to be up in arms if we're robbed of this. And let me ask you this quickly. Because look, you know I picked the Mets to win the World Series preseason. You have started to come around. You'll make your World Series predictions series by series anyway, so I know you're not too bothered by that. But I'm curious, what do you need to see anything from DeGrom between now and the postseason? And what I mean by that is, do you need an 8-inning, 100-pitch performance out of DeGrom? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, we've still not seen him touch 100 pitches. Yesterday, he only went 6 innings. Do you need to see a deeper DeGrom start to get full confidence?
No, I don't. I really don't, because I just see it as the over-caution here. Because we've talked about this. Major League Baseball fans are talking. Handicappers talk about it. Why are the Mets scary? When they get to the playoffs and you see healthy Scherzer, healthy DeGrom, that's why they're scary. The Mets know this. Their front office knows it as well. Hey, let's let DeGrom go another inning against Colorado when they can't hit him. They're saying to themselves, no. He got his work in, and once we get to October that first week, we will unleash him. If the game is 1-0 Mets in the seventh inning and DeGrom has 98 pitches, he's going to pitch into the eighth inning in that game to make sure they can hand it over to Diaz. That's the way I see it lining up. We don't care about the regular season. Should I say we? We as being the Mets. Don't care about the regular season. We'll win our games. We'll get to the playoffs. But if you ask the Mets right now, would you rather have a wild card but a healthy pitching staff or have a division championship with guys with a little bit of rubber arms? They would take the wild card every time because their advantage is their top two pitchers.
Yeah, it absolutely is. But to me, right, you look at Max Scherzer, you go, at 7+. You want to feel that with DeGrom. Now, the thing is, some of these DeGrom starts feel so dominant. You're like, yeah, you can take them out right now. It doesn't make a difference. They'll be fine, right? But if the opportunity is there to see DeGrom pitch the eighth inning, you'd like that, right? Just to see how it goes. Go 110 pitches. But as you said, you don't want to force anything. By the way, yesterday the Blue Jays got a sweep over the Red Sox and the Astros got a sweep over the Minnesota Twins. But before we close out hour number one, Stanton was back and it mattered.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
New York Yankees last night went up against Crilly. On this show, we're trying to figure out, do you get after the Yankees there and look for some juice? And honestly, just be careful here, right? It just feels like disappointment. Wait for the Yankees live. I always try and heed DRS's advice, especially on the baseball diamond. But yesterday, I said, Stanton's back. There has to be juice. 4 runs in the second inning, 4 runs in the third inning. 13 overall. The Yankees had juice last night. Stanton, look, 3 RBIs, scored 2 of them in that second inning. He only had 1 hit, but still, it felt like a more complete lineup, Donnie, with him back right there near the top of it.
Yeah, it does. And also, it's nice because when you make a move at the deadline to get Benintendi, we say, wait, guy goes over to a hitter's ballpark on a team that should be able to protect him in the lineup, unlike somebody else. You know, his previous team that was on the Kansas City Royals, 3-for-5 last night, now hitting .308. That's what you want. If you can surround some of these contact batters that can hit for average with these power guys in the middle, you got something. This is the Yankees we were used to seeing, Kevin, in June and July, hammering bad baseball teams and bad pitchers. We had gotten away from that for so long. Maybe just getting Stanton back in the lineup, you got that breath of fresh air, and it worked well. Kaprielian's a pitcher you should be able to hit. Even though it's Oakland and a pitcher's ballpark, doesn't matter. 13 total runs on the board, 20 hits. Finally had to feel good for the Yanks.
I mean, look, Andrew Benintendi is feels like the main takeaway, Donnie. This is his fourth consecutive game with multiple hits. 9 for his last 15, 4 straight games with an RBI. If the Yankees are getting that out of the top spot in the order, it makes such a difference because you can't pitch around Aaron Judge now. And also, it's a little more difficult to pitch around him when Stanton's waiting. It makes when now LeMahieu wasn't in this lineup, but when DJ LeMahieu's in the lineup, it makes him a little bit more dangerous. It allows Rizzo to swing from the heels, which is, I think, kind of really the way he's transitioned and because of that short left porch at Yankee Stadium. And that's what he wants to do. The Yankees building back some momentum, their fourth consecutive win. We'll see if that is able to continue. Taking a break. We're coming back to the early line on Sports Grid.